Yes, you're listening to Law and Gospel on Worldwide KFUO. I'm Pastor Tom Baker, and it's an open mic Friday on this June the 9th in the year of our Lord 2017. What does it mean to be open mic? By calling these numbers, you can take over the microphone and asking a question, making a comment. We pray that there will be a theological item so I might be able to respond to it. I'm not very good at anything else like science or mathematics or politics. But the number in St. Louis is 821-0850. Anywhere in North America, a toll-free number, 1-800-730-2727. In between calls, I'm going to continue to give some insights from a wonderful book I have been looking at, and I'm going to give you the name of it. Some have been asking about what it is. It's The Holy Trinity by Carl L. Beckwith, B-E-C-K-W-I-T-H, The Holy Trinity. So, if you want to call, you can ask a question about that or any other theological question. By the way, you can get this book from the seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. So you can Google them and see about purchasing the book, The Holy Trinity. It's got lots of insights, and I pray that you'll take an opportunity to take a look at it. As I indicated, numbers in St. Louis, 821-0850. And we also have 1-800-730-2727. Okay, I think we've got somebody on the line right now. Hi, you're on the line. I'm Pastor Baker. Who's this?
Hi, Pastor Tom Baker. This is Neil Huntley.
Okay, go ahead, Neil.
Yeah, hi. I have several translations of this Bible verse, Isaiah 45:7, and in the English Standard Version here, it says, I form light and create darkness. I make well-being and create calamity. I am the Lord who does all these things. And like I said, I've got several translations here.
And what's your question?
Okay. Anyway, I was looking over the translations that I have here. I would love to see your understanding of this Bible verse, Isaiah 45:7.
Yes. Remember when God creates the heaven and the earth, when he creates the sun, etc., he therefore divides the day from the night. And that's what I would understand in saying, I form light and create darkness. There's nothing that we experience that isn't from God. He also says, I make well-being and create calamity. Do you know that the primary goal of a pastor in a sermon is to create calamity in you? Because so many people are under the impression that they're good enough to get to heaven. We want to create calamity in you to show you that you are not good enough to get to heaven. And when that occurs by the preaching of the law and a person recognizes I'm a poor, miserable sinner, then we do well-being in you by giving you the gospel. I mean, don't you feel really good here, Neil, that your sins have been forgiven and heaven is your home?
Oh, what a gift.
Yes, but you see that come about because you also recognize that you're a sinner who doesn't deserve heaven.
Oh, great. You know, and I was looking here specifically here at the King James Version, and it says that I form the light and create darkness. The Lord makes peace and creates evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Now, I wouldn't think that a God of mercy and would create evil. I mean, this is,
well, there's a big difference. Theology is the art of making distinction. We would confess God is not the cause or source of evil, but when evil comes, God is in total control of it. Do you know how many times the devil wishes that you would have had a car accident on the way to church so that you wouldn't hear the word of God? Well, God stops that from happening so that you can get to church and hear the word of God. Now, God may, for example, if I do something wrong in the temporal realm and a policeman pulls me over, God is behind my receiving the consequence of my sin. So in that sense, he does create calamity within me, but it's for a good purpose. You see, you're a Christian, Neil, and therefore nothing that happens to you is not being worked out by God for your good. Isn't that good news?
Incredible.
Well, thank you very much for calling, and don't hesitate to call back again. We love to hear from you. We're just going to go down the line and talk to Jim. Hi, Jim. You're on the air.
Good morning, Pastor. Always good to talk to you.
Thank
just
you.
Just got a quick question for you, and it regards this coming Sunday, which we know is Trinity Sunday.
Yes.
What should I be looking for in a sermon for this Sunday? What are the important points that that I should hopefully hear and be able to pick up and meditate on that would help me in my life? And if you don't mind, I'm going to hang up because I'm having a little trouble hearing over the phone here.
Okay.
Thank you.
Very good. No problem with that. There's two kinds of sermons you can hear this Sunday. Martin Luther was well aware of them during the time of the Reformation, because we believe in what's called the Athanasian Creed, which is a very good teaching of the Holy Trinity. However, it talks about that God is like rather than the will of God. In other words, and I made a mistake once. I did two sermons in a row on the Athanasian Creed, and it was not a sermon. It was a Bible study. It talked about that the Father is not the Son is not the Holy Spirit, and I gave Bible verses for all that. But it wasn't a sermon. It's kind of like going to your doctor, and you have a pain, and what he says is, you won't believe that new medicine that they discovered in South America that helps people who have leg problems. Now, you don't have any leg problems, and you sit there for 20 minutes hearing about this wonderful medicine. No, you didn't come to hear about the wonderful medicine. You came to find out, why do I have this pain? What is the treatment for it? So the kind of sermon I hope you're hearing is not so much about the attributes of God, as is well understood by the Athanasian Creed, but rather, what is God's will for me? And the only way you'll come to know that is by hearing the word of God. And that word of God comes from the Holy Trinity. You see, there's a vast difference between knowing there is a God with all his attributes and knowing who or what this God is. Martin Luther and the Reformers did not have a problem with the doctrine of the Trinity as understood by the Roman Catholics during the time of the Reformation. Where they had their problem is not in the Roman Catholics not understanding who God is. They had their problem in not understanding his will for them. They believed that they were saved by faith plus works. Well, the God of the Bible, the Holy Trinity, doesn't talk that way. So we would hope that on Trinity Sunday, my goal is going to be such that after the service, people will want to come to the next service to hear even more about the Holy Trinity. So thanks for calling, and we're going to go down the line, and we're going to talk now to Steve. Steve, you're on the air.
Hello, good morning.
Hi.
Yeah, I hear people talk about, your deceased mother in heaven's proud of you. She's looking down. That was great what you did. I just wonder if that's biblical. And then another thing, I heard a friend of mine actually talk about a ghost in their house that was friendly, and they talked to and they saw it all the time, and papers moved when there was no fan or windows open and blah, 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 blah. And I just wondered if that kind of thing was biblical.
Two things. Very good, Steve. Thanks for that. Number one, there is no way that anyone in heaven is aware of what is going on earth. Even, it says, the Bible's very clear, even Abraham does not know what is going on earth. There is a gulf between heaven and earth. And, you know, the more I think about it, you think I want to have a life where my parents see and know everything I'm doing here on earth? That would not make me very happy. And I don't know how they would be in bliss because I'm a poor, miserable sinner. So that's the first point. There is a gulf between those who are now in heaven in the spirit and they are unaware of what's going on. As to the second question about ghosts, there's no doubt that the devil and the demons do have mighty powers. And the Bible talks about the world filled with principalities and powers. And to a great degree, that is referring to demonology. I'm not at all surprised that, for example, there are what people think are ghosts. They're just not people who used to live here on earth. It is the demons working in this whole area, and we need to be very careful that we don't get involved with them because we're not talking with God there. We're talking with the devil.
Wow. Well, okay, there are a lot of bad things happening in their life. Maybe that had something to do with it. I don't know.
Well, that would almost surprise me because the devil wants to have good things happen in your life so you don't need God. You see, he, but of course, he's not a very wise individual. I mean, how wise do you have to be to make sure that Jesus is put on the cross when you read the Old Testament that he's going to be pierced in hands and feet, and by his death on the cross, he's going to save us? One would have thought that the devil would have done everything he could to make sure Jesus did not die on the cross. But of course, it was the devil who moved the unbelieving Pharisees to call out through their people, crucify him, crucify him. So remember, the mighty fortress is our God. He's judged, the deed is done, one little word can fell him. That's the power, Steve, you have over the devil in Christ. And so even if there are ghosts and that's a reality, that would be part of definitely the world of the devil, not the world of God. Okay?
Thank you.
Thank you very much for calling. And we're going to go on down the line, and we'll talk with Marilyn. Marilyn, you're on the air.
Well, good morning, Pastor. I have two comments or questions. One, whenever Judgment Day comes, those who, in fact, that Jesus says, I never knew you, are they going to be raised with a perfect body? And my next question has to do with heaven itself. We always, well, we know from the Bible, said Jesus ascended into heaven. Well, any place on earth, heaven would be up, whether it's north, south, east, or west. But someone that I was listening to on the radio said that there is a place in the Bible where it says north. And I don't know where that might be.
Okay, a first question is, when Jesus says, I never knew you, that is because for him to know us, we need to know him. And therefore, an unbeliever is someone who rejects the proper knowledge of God and follows an idol instead. And so when you're praying to idols, Jesus never knows you. The question about whether or not unbelievers are raised with perfect bodies, it is clear that they are also raised from the dead in their body. But as far as I can remember, the description of bodies after death always applies to the believers. I'm not sure what kind of body an unbeliever would have, but we do know that the bodies of the believers will be perfect, etc., but the bodies of the unbelievers will still be suffering pain. And then this idea of ascended into heaven, the fact of the matter is, the reason the word ascension is used is because when Jesus does leave the disciples, he's ascending up into the clouds. But heaven is not north, it's not south, it's not anywhere in particular, because heaven is not so much a place as it is where God the Father exists now with Jesus as at his right hand. So, in the room that you are in right now, Marilyn, Jesus is there. And therefore, you are part of the kingdom of heaven as a Christian, and that can occur anywhere on earth. It's invisible. It's not in a locality, but it will be after Judgment Day. Is that helpful?
Oh, wonderful. Thank you so much, Pastor. God bless your day. All your days.
Yeah, thank you very much for calling, Marilyn. And we're just going to go down the line again. And now we're talking with Mike. Hi, Mike.
Hey, how you doing? Here, let me take you off speaker.
Okay, take me off the speaker. All right.
Listen. I'm looking at a New American Bible, and it's the Daniel chapter 12, verse 1. And the last part of it describes Michael as the guardian of your people, which, of course, is the ancient Israelite people. Now, you were saying that Jesus Christ was the person in the burning bush, but wouldn't the angel of the Lord most likely be Michael, the archangel?
Well, the problem is, if you go back to Exodus 3, Moses asks the name of the angel of the Lord, and what name does he give him? He gives him Yahweh, which is the name for God, never used by a created being.
Yeah, but that might not be a name, though.
What do you mean it's not a name? It is a name. It's YHWH, and nowhere in the Bible is that name used that does not refer only to God.
Yeah, but according to Martin Luther, that's actually an irregular verb, and it means it means the act of becoming. So you could use it as a verbal, maybe, you know, where he's saying I am who I am or something. Somehow it's put that way, but it's actually not a name, though.
Well, he says it's his name. He says that's what he wants to be called by. So I'm not going to argue with God. By the way, I have a real good explanation of I am who I am. You want to hear it, Mike?
I sure do.
Okay, you ever watch Popeye the Sailor Man?
Not in decades, but yeah.
I know. I wish those cartoons would come back. Sometimes they're in the newspaper. But there's this one occasion when Popeye has made a promise to Olive Oil that he's going to go out with her on a date. Although when you look at Olive Oil, you wonder why anybody wants to go out with her on a date. But anyway, he does. And Bluto says, no, I'm going to take her out. And Popeye puffs on his pipe twice, and he says, I am who I am, which is another way of saying I am who I am. And you know what that means? It means, look, Bluto, I made a promise to Olive Oil, and I'm going to keep that promise. So the way I like translating I am who I am, because Moses says, I can't get rid of, you know, Pharaoh and get our people out of Egypt. God says, I'm going with you, and therefore I am who I am, which means I will fulfill what I promise. That's what Yahweh means, the name of God, and that's why we trust God, because he's going to keep his promises.
Well, here's one thing. I'm looking at it right now in Exodus, but I can't look through I'm not that fast looking through my concordance. But it says, I'm the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac. Now, when he uses this word God, what is the actual Hebrew word he's using? I can't look it up right now.
Yes, the word God, believe it or not, is El, like God Almighty.
You mean El?
Well, no, El, E-L.
I know, but I'm saying, but
well,
the,
no, let,
you know,
let me finish. Why don't you ask a question,
El.
Mike? It's my turn.
I'm sorry.
El Shaddai means God Almighty. But in this case, the word God is Elohim, which is the plural for the word God. And if it's talking about idols, it's talking about a multitude of idols. But when it's talking about the true God, it's referring to the Holy Trinity. So God often says, I am the Lord. Lord God. The word Lord is Yahweh. It's in capital letters. And the word God is Elohim. So that's how he wants to be referred to, is Yahweh Elohim. And Yahweh never refers to a created person.
Well, what I was trying to say was, though, you know, you have a group called the Moorish Science Temple, and they're either an eel or a bay, but they always spell it E-L.
Well, I'm not interested in what other people say if it doesn't get backed up by the Bible. And remember, that's what Trinity Sunday is all about, namely that we need to hear what the true God has to say. Thanks very much for the call, Mike, and we'll try and get one more in. Is this James?
This is James. How are you, Pastor?
Really good. How can I help you?
Well, I'd like to know if Psalms 10, verses 1 through 4, if that's a valid and understandable Christian perspective.
You said Psalm 110?
No, Psalms 10.
Oh, just Psalm 10. Yeah, I was going to say...
verses 1 through 4. And if that's an understandable and valid Christian perspective.
Well, I don't even have to look it up. Is it in the Bible?
It's in the Bible.
Well, then it's a valid Christian perspective.
Well,
but you want more than that, don't you?
Yeah, will you please look at it for us, Pastor? We were thinking it was kind of like the passage in Revelation where the souls are under the altar and they were saying, "How long, O Lord?" But I'd like your expertise and your expounding of it.
All right. We've got a few moments. You want to stay on the air? Or?
No, we're going to go back.
Okay, thanks. Psalm 110. Why, O Lord, do you stand far away? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? In arrogance, the wicked hotly pursue the poor. Let them be caught in the schemes that they have devised. For the wicked boasts of the desires of his soul, and the one greedy for gain curses and renounces the Lord. In the pride of his face, the wicked does not seek him. All his thoughts are, there is no God. Now, this is really interesting because these are not just psalms of the author, David, etc. These are actually, as I understand the psalms, the prayers of Jesus. Where in Jesus' life did the Lord stand far away? It was at the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? In essence, we need to understand that we don't hardly understand God at all. We may have an inkling of what God is like, and even there, it's confusing, but we know his will. But 95% of God is hidden from us. How many times do we hear Christians say, "God, what did I do to deserve this?" or something along those lines. And when we look at the wicked, boy, they seem to be getting away with murder. They do all kinds of evil things, and nothing appears to be happening to them. And so, therefore, it appears that God is standing far away, allowing them to get the better in life, whereas we oftentimes are being persecuted and other things of great suffering are happening to us. And remember, the wicked say, there is no God. Now, that word is capitalized in Psalm 10, verse 4 in the English. It's a capital G. Why can we say that all unbelievers say there is no God? Because the word God in that sense refers to the Holy Trinity. But no unbeliever believes in the God of the Trinity. They believe in a small g God. And therefore, we can't understand why a lot of times their life seems to be better than ours. But when we remember the promises of Jesus, our life is all working to our good. We may not see the evidence for that. It may appear at times that God seems far away, but in reality, he is right beside us at all times. This coming Sunday at Trinity Lutheran Orchard Farm at 8 and 10:30, we'll be preaching. It's Trinity Sunday, And we're going to be doing the sermon not so much on the attributes of God, who he is, but on the will of God. And the purpose of that is to get people so excited about a worship service that they can hardly wait to get back next week to hear once more, not from Tom Baker, but from God himself. Monday, we're going to be talking about a lesson for the following Father's Day. Does that fit in? We'll see you on Monday to talk about that. God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email Law and Gospel at lawandgospel101.com. Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.